for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Monday afternoon, July the 5th, 2004. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Carla Boutin of Jasper, Texas, is the minister on this. Okay. Carla has been here a few times. Have you ministered in the afternoon meeting service before?
No. Once in the evening.
Once in the evening. I couldn't remember. But we're glad that she's going has come, and we'll be hearing from her from time to time in the camp meeting. We just appreciate the people that the Lord sent them to help us. Amen.
Thank you. I like Lady Carla. Took me a while to get used to Sister Carla. Kind of felt like a nun when I first started hearing that. Let's have them with prayer. Father, we thank you for another time to come together, to share your word. I come against every spirit right now that would keep the people from hearing your word. I come against the deaf and dumb spirit that refuses to hear. I come against all hindering spirits, all blocking spirits, mind-blinding spirits. And I say to every dry bone to hear the word of the Lord. Come, O Holy Spirit, and breathe on these, the slain places of our lives, Lord, that need to be resurrected, that need to be breathed life into them. That we not only hear, but we will speak and we will do what your word says. And Lord, above all, that we might know you in your fullness, Lord. We want to know you in your fullness. We want to know who you are in a way that we've never known you before. New, a deeper revelation of who you are and a deeper revelation of who we are in you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I like to introduce myself. I already did it with the ladies, but God's done such a wonderful work in my life in areas of deliverance, because not too many years ago, I wouldn't have gotten up in front of a crowd for anything. I went to one semester of college, and they made me take speech because I wanted to be a teacher. I always wanted to be a teacher. And everywhere I went, everybody said, "Are you a teacher?" I said, "No." But God had a different, you know, I thought I was going to be a teacher in a school until I found out that in the class they had a two-way window where they would film you in front of your peers. Well, I got out of that quick. And I skipped all my speech classes. It just wasn't happening. So it's really an amazing thing that I'm even standing up here today. It's a testimony of the power of God and how he can take things and the things that you fear and use them for his glory. It's just amazing. And also to let everyone know that I'm just a simple-minded girl, I like to say, like a little child. The Bible says that you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven unless you become as a little child. I took him up on that. I'm like a little child. I like to have fun and be silly sometimes and just simple-minded. But to tell you how simple-minded and how literal-minded, my husband took me to a Chinese restaurant years ago. We didn't have children yet, and some friends took us, and I'd never eaten Chinese food before. And they brought the menu, and they had a luncheon special, and it was noon, and they had Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And our friends both ordered Thursday. Well, it was a Thursday when we went. They ordered Thursday's lunch, and I thought, well, how boring. Just because it's Thursday, they're ordering Thursday's lunch. I didn't like what they were having Thursday, so I said, I'll have Tuesday's lunch. And that waitress looked at me, and my husband said, "She's serious." And then it dawned on me. She said, "Well, lady, today is Thursday, and that's Thursday. You can't have Tuesday. You have to come on Tuesday to get Tuesday's lunch." And it just made me feel, you know, I just think, how can I be, I know I'm an intelligent person. How can I be so intelligent and yet so... And I'm not really a blonde. And that's not even true about blonde. Okay, I'm going to start in... heart. Yes, I know. I remembered. In Matthew chapter 7, I want to read a group of scriptures that will lead me into what I want to talk about today. In chapter 7, starting with verse 24 of Matthew. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Okay. I've been a Christian for 27 years, and I decided early on I was going to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only, a doer. And I've been challenged in a lot of ways to do that. But about in 1997, however many years ago that was, the rains came and the wind blew and beat upon our house. Now, for a while, it was in a shaky state, but it didn't fall, and it is because it's founded on a rock. But I learned that even though I was a doer of the word, it did not keep the rains from coming and the winds from blowing and beating upon the house. And I had a belief system that worked very well for me for a very long time, and it was founded on the word of God. But when the rains came and the wind blew and beat upon the house, I got really shook up, and it was very disturbing. And so in the process of enduring, I learned a lot about prayer. And I want to share some of those things with you, because we are all at different stages of our lives. And, you know, I don't know where you are in your development with the Lord, but I know that if one of these doesn't speak to you, another one will. And it's something that we as Christians really need to understand about prayer, because the rains are going to come and the wind will blow and beat upon your house. Nobody, you know what I've learned? God is not a respecter of persons, but neither is Satan. He's not a respecter of persons. He's going to come at whoever he can. He's just going to come. That's his purpose, to kill, steal, and destroy. And so there are, if I had to, whenever I talk to new Christians or if I give them a Bible or something, I write these sets of scriptures in the front of the Bible, because I have found that if I could only relay so many scriptures, I mean, other than the salvation scriptures, of course, for people to live by, one of the sets would be Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, that says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." I found that to be so true, that I don't lean on my own understanding, because there's a lot I don't understand. And so when I get to that place, I just have to trust in the Lord and say, "Lord, I don't understand this. I don't know why it's happening. I don't know what to do, but I'm trusting you." And stand in that place. Another set is Matthew chapter 6. And they're kind of long, so I didn't write those down. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 33. And that says, "Therefore I say unto you, be not anxious for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than food, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. And are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by being anxious, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why are ye anxious for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, be not anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with what shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. A lot of times people will share with me and want to know, you know, what's happening? Why is this, you know, this is happening and this is happening and this is happening and this is happening? And I told Mike, it's so simple now to talk to these people, because I say, well, let's see. Something just came to my mind. Are you seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Because the word says that if you do this, you're not going to have to worry about those things. But I hear worry. And worry is unbelief. It's fear. It's doubt. So that's another one of the scriptures. The last one is Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. This was always a real comfort to me, because sometimes you just don't know how to pray. But this says, Philippians 4, 6 and 7, says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, whenever I pray, I do that. I pray my request. Sometimes I'll run against somebody and they'll say, you can't pray like that. You're not supposed to pray like that. And I say, but I read in the Word where it says to make my request known to God. That is my request. If it says it in the Word, I'm not out of line to do it, am I? Not according to what I understand. If it's in the Word, it's okay. So those are the three sets of scriptures that have been my rock, my place of safety whenever the winds come and beat upon the house. If we have not fear, then we can do this. But I'm going to tell you, fear is a huge hindrance to our walk with God. Fear is a spirit. You know, it's not just a feeling. We don't just feel fear. It is an absolute spirit. It's a being that has a hold on men and women, even men and women of God, if they haven't, you know, gotten it out of their lives. And it can cause a lot of problems. The Word says that in the last days that men's hearts shall fail them for fear. So heart attacks and heart problems of all kinds, laying in bed, anxiety attacks, fear. I mean, just fear is the ruler spirit over so much. And then whenever you are operating in that spirit, it'll work out into your physical body. That fear will cause you to have migraine headaches, or it can cause constipation, fear and anger, acid reflux. You know, there are so many physical ailments that are attached to the spirit of fear. When my 17-year-old left home, I didn't know where he was. But I had lived by these scriptures, and so I could lay down at night and say, Lord, I don't know where he is, but I know that your eyes are on him right now. You can see him. That was comforting to me. And so it allowed me to lay down and go to sleep at night and not fear. I commit him to you. Save him from himself. That was my prayer. Amen. Good night. You know, your prayers don't have to be hours and hours long to be effective. But anyway, so you can sleep like a baby if you don't have fear. Then it's prayers of petition. It says, let your request be made known to the Lord. My first prayer was not very full of faith. People would probably say, well, you have doubt, so that you can just forget about God answering your prayer. But he heard my prayer. My prayer was, Lord, my brother told me I didn't know the Lord. I thought I knew the Lord, but I didn't know the Lord. So I said, my brother told me that you can take this fear, because I was facing a serious surgery. I had scoliosis, and I had been healthy all my life. I didn't know how. I couldn't swallow a pill. My parents never worried about me and dope, because I couldn't swallow an aspirin, and it took everybody in the doctor's office to give me a shot. No fear, you know, I'm not going to be doing this to myself, you know. No. But my brother had just been saved, and he called me and he said, "You know, Carla, God can take that fear." And I thought, I don't see how that's possible. I was on the phone. But, you know, I was desperate. I wanted to not have fear about the surgery. So my prayer was, my brother told me that you could take this fear. I really don't see how that's possible, but if you can, I need you to, because I really want to have babies, and I can't have babies till I have this surgery. That was my prayer. I prayed that prayer every day, you know, I went to the doctor. I can't remember what month it was, but it was like a 4 or 5 month period of time I was praying that prayer. And then after a little while, I would add to it because I was such a baby. Lord, I don't want to, you know, I want to be a good patient. See, I'd moved past the fear. Now I was having the surgery, but in my mind, I didn't know the process that was taking place. So I added to that, and one day I woke up, and the fear was gone. I went to my chair to pray, and it was a surprise to me. The fear was gone. All of a sudden, it was replaced by this excitement, like I was going on a great venture. And so that was the point. That was my, I knew that God, I had always known there was a God, but he was way out there. Wasn't sure if he was hearing me or not. You know, there was no relationship. Now there was relationship, because he heard me and he answered me. And now when I was praying, I knew he was hearing me, and I had no fear. And it was just a miraculous venture having this surgery. But now I wish my brother had said, "You know, God can heal you." But he didn't know that. He only told me what he knew. And I was willing to have faith for what he told me. So be specific when you pray. You know, a lady came to our church one time. She says, "I want y'all to pray that God will lead me to the doctor that will give me the diagnosis for my problem." And I was like, "Why don't we pray for God to heal you?" You know? Well, he's very specific. He wants to hear your request. If that's your request, he'll grant it. But he's big. Nothing is impossible with God. So get big with God. You know, pray what you really want. What do you really, really want? Pray that. Don't try to be religious or religious. There's no other word for it. To be religious with your prayers, because speaking with God, when you come to him with a need, that's prayer. So get big with God. I get outrageous with God. And you know what? I've had some outrageous things happen in my life, because nothing's impossible with God. I want us to look at, and I found that, see, in the scripture. I always look for what God is showing me in the scripture, because I don't want to be doing anything that I'm not supposed to be doing, or telling anybody anything that I shouldn't be telling them. So I want to look at Genesis chapter 24 for a prayer of petition. Genesis 24, verses 12 through 15. Now this was this is Abraham's servant. You know, he sent his servant to go find a wife for Isaac back to his own people. You know, don't you get anybody but somebody from our own people. And that's a pretty big responsibility for this servant. You know, how's he going to go find a wife? So this is what he says, verse 12. And he said, the servant said, "O Lord God of Abraham," my master Abraham. See, he didn't have a personal relationship with God, but he knew Abraham did. So he was praying to the God of his master. Just like I didn't have a relationship with God, but my brother did, and my brother said. So here he is saying, "O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water, and let it come to pass, here's his request, let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, now he's getting really specific, isn't he? I'm going to say this, and let her say that, and then I'm going to do this, and then she's going to do that, and then I'll know. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let her be the one whom thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast shown kindness unto my master. I love this. And it came to pass, before he had finished speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to one of his relatives. And the damsel was very fair, verse 16, to look upon, a virgin. Neither had any man known her, and she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up, and the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water from my pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hastened and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had finished giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have finished drinking. Can you imagine what he, blow me down. That's what I just said. I think he's going to get a personal relationship with this God of his master Abraham. He doesn't only listen to Abraham. He listens to me. You know, he sees no respecter of persons. A request, a simple request, and then it came to pass. I love that. Okay, so that's how I pray. I'm specific. And I pray my request. I pray my request. Don't let what you know get in the way of what God can do. See? It says that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now, we have a lot of knowledge that we've acquired during our lifetime. We have a lot of knowledge. We've learned stuff from school. We've learned stuff from our parents. We've learned stuff from our friends and all along the way. And I learned this lesson through my son when he was about 5 years old. My three children have their birthdays all within a month. June 25th, 1 week later, July 2nd, and about 2.5 weeks later, July 18th. So it's really hard for the one whose birthday is July 18th because the presents, the cards, all of that comes last. And so our preacher at the time would send birthday cards to everybody in the church. Sometimes if it was a kid, he would put a stick of gum in it, you know. And so the other two had their birthdays, and they got cards from Grandma. They had, you know, dollar bills in it. It looked like a bunch of money. And the last one was standing there, you know, because he had to wait 2.5 weeks, which seems like an eternity when you're five. And the very first birthday card that came was from the preacher. And so I took the card, and I was going to put it on top of the refrigerator until the other cards came so that he wouldn't be disappointed. And then I thought, you know, that's not really a good thing. It'll give me a chance to explain to him, you know, that it, the others will come. You just have to wait. You know, we can't shield our kids from all disappointments. Everything that comes along in your children's life is a teaching tool. And so I put the card on the table, and he came in, and he could recognize the K-Y-L-E. And he picks it up. Oh, Mom, is this for me? And I said, yes, it is. So he rips it open. Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if there was a dollar bill in here for me, Mama? And I'm over at the sink cleaning mustard greens. Poor little thing, you know. But, you know, he opened that card, and there was a dollar bill in that card. No dollar bill in the first one. No dollar bill in the second one. But a dollar bill in his. And I could have done cartwheels in the kitchen. That little child, you know, had faith. He was waiting for a card because he was going to get money. And he got it. See, he's teaching me a lot. And he went outside to play. And I said, Lord, never let me allow what I know to get in the way of what you can do. And then I turned around and did the very thing. We were looking for a house. I was looking for a house. We found this house, and I just loved it. And there were five contracts on this house. I worked at a newspaper, and I don't know anything about real estate. I don't know anything about money. I don't know anything about much of anything. So I'm taking ads over the phone, and he's describing this house. And I thought, oh, I like the sound of that. Where is that house? He said, well, it's in Grove, but you don't bother going to look at it. We have 5 contracts on that house already. It's as good as sold. And I said, but where is it? See, I didn't even hear that because that didn't mean anything to me. I didn't know anything about buying a house. Contracts, I don't know about that. So I said, well, where is it? So he told me, and I drove by. Oh, I liked it. I brought Mike to see it that afternoon. I brought my mother to see it, and I wanted that house. So every day I drive home and look down that road, and there that for sale sign still was. For months it was still there. And later he called back, and I asked him, I said, well, if it's as good as sold, why are you putting this in the paper? He said, well, we have to list it until it's actually, you know, the paperwork has gone through. So he calls again one day, and he's giving me that same ad. And I said, is that house in Grove still? He said, yeah. I said, I thought it was as good as sold. He said, well, do you know that every contract, we've never had that happen, but every contract on that house fell through. I just about fell out of my chair. Well, we bought the house. It was ours. So we don't want to let what we know get in the way of what God can do. Because don't we know that men can't walk on water? Don't we know that virgins don't have babies? Don't we know that you can't feed 5,000 people with 2 fish and a loaf of bread? Or what is it, 5 loaves and 2 fishes? Don't we know that? Don't we know that when you go fishing, how many of you men fish? How many of you have ever pulled up a fish with money in its mouth? Don't we know that there's no money in fish's mouth? But let me tell you, when God's involved, anything can happen. So involve God in everything. And be bold. Be bold. The Word says in Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Do we come boldly? Most of the time, we don't feel worthy enough to go boldly. You know, we're supposed to be reverent, yes, but with boldness, knowing that we're going to be heard and our petition will be answered. I had a good example of that in my daddy. My daddy just loved me. And whenever my daddy died, actually there was this period of time that while my daddy was dying, it was a transition time where I learned to, instead of rolling things over to my daddy, because my daddy was a wise, godly man and could give me godly counsel. And every time I took his advice, it was just wonderful. And so really, though, that was before I had a relationship with God. And he became like my God on earth, which was not a good thing. I mean, I didn't worship him, but I sure did love him. And I sure did have confidence in him. And he was faithful. And he loved me. It didn't matter what. He loved me. Of course, I tried very hard to be an obedient daughter, to please him. It was important to please him. So when my daddy was dying, he couldn't bear my burden. And I had to, that was a transition time. I look back now and see that 2 years period of time when we watched him die, just turn into a bag of bones with skin on it. You know, it was so horrible to watch, but in my mind, God left him there for me, you know, to see and touch in the flesh while I was transposing the Godhead and the Lordship and my relationship to my Heavenly Father. And he loves me too. I mean, it was real easy for me to think, he loves me even more than my daddy. That's, man, he loves me. And I'm the apple of his eye. You know, we should all feel that way, shouldn't we? We should feel that we are the apple of his eye, and he has good things for us. Good things for us. And so even the little things, you know, I hear so many people say, well, God's got enough problems. I don't need to bother him with my little stuff. Let me tell you, if it's bothering you, it's not little to yourself or to God, ever. And even, it was a shock to me one time, in my raising up and whenever I did things religiously, I would go to God if I was sick or if I was in trouble or if I was fearful about something, but never for things. You know, it's when I heard a teaching on it one time, and I thought, well, I don't know about that. But I'm not going to throw it out. I'm going to set it over here, and Lord, you talk to me about this. Because if this is right, then I want to use it, and if it's not, I don't want any part of it. But I was fixing up a bedroom, and I always wanted a real pretty dressing table, but because we were a one-income family by choice, we couldn't afford it. So I made one out of an old sewing machine. I put a pretty piece of fabric over it and put ribbons on it and found an old mirror for about $5 somewhere. And I made the prettiest dressing table. And I stood back and looked at it, and I said, Lord, that is so pretty. I love that. But the corner over here sure looks empty. Oh, you know what I would love to have there? I just talk to him all the time, like he's in the house with me, following me around. I would love to have one of those old dress forms, you know, that they put old dress in antique stores. You see them all the time. Well, I'm going to look for one. Lord, I would like to have one, and I'm going to look for one that I can afford. So every time I would go into these places, there would be one. I would beeline for it. There'd be a little sign, not for sale. Display only. We couldn't find one, you know, for any price. And I thought, well, I don't guess I'll get a dress form. So one day I was on my way to Bible study, and I'm driving down the road, and this elderly lady that had lived in our neighborhood forever, since it was built back in the 40s, was moving. And the new people moved in, and they cleaned out their attic. And guess what was standing on the side of the road? In the trash! A dress form! It was in perfect shape. It was exactly what I wanted. And one of my fondest memories is my little boy, when he got home from school, said, Kyle, you see that? You see that thing down there? It looks like a lady without a head. Go get that for Mama. It's okay. It's in the trash. But go get it. And he comes walking down the road with that thing over his shoulder. A dress form. Just what I wanted. So don't be afraid to let your request be made known to God. Simple things. Little things. I mean little things. And don't feel like you're being selfish either. Because my prayer partner, Janet, I had this favorite coffee cup that I drank my coffee out of every morning. And Mike used it one morning and left it on a stump somewhere out in his travels on our property. And I really missed that cup. I wanted that cup. And Janet got a set of four of them for Christmas. And they were exactly like my cup, and I wanted one of those cups. So one morning I was putting my makeup on, and I was just talking to the Lord. And I said, Lord, lead me to that cup. I know it's just ridiculous, but I like that cup and I want it. Help me find it. Well, I didn't find it, and so I didn't really give much time to find it. But I said in the mirror that day, Lord, you know what? Janet's got four cups just like my cup. And she lives by herself, and she can't drink out of all four of those cups at one time. I want one of those cups. I wouldn't dare ask her for one of those cups, but Lord, I want one of those cups. Now, we were going somewhere. I drive up to her house. She's loaded with all of her stuff and hanging on her finger. Is that cup? I was speechless, if you can believe it. I was speechless. She got in the car, didn't say anything for about 10 miles. She said, are you upset with me? I said, no. Well, if you don't feel like you have to take the cup, I want the cup. I said, you're just not going to believe this. And I told her what happened about the cup. This happens all the time. So I encourage you, just make your request known. And it doesn't have to be a life or death situation. Those were the early years. Okay, now there are, I have learned, prayers of power. I have wondered, you know, sometimes you pray a prayer. I've known people that have prayed prayers for years, and you never see the answer. And in this time when the wind came and the rain was beating upon the house, I was praying, and I touched on this the last time I talked, but I'm going deeper into it today. I believe the reason we're not seeing the answers to our prayers is because we are asking God to do what He has given us the power and the authority to do in our prayers. He said, didn't he say that if you have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, you shall say to the mountain, unto this mountain, move, and it shall move, and nothing shall be impossible unto you? That's what the Word says. He didn't say, if you have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, you shall ask me to move the mountain, and I will move the mountain. But that's what we do. We sit around, and we have a mountain, and we're asking God to move the mountain. and God said to us, move the mountains. Now, I want to show you that in Scripture. It's in Exodus chapter 14. This is about Moses when he was had his back to the Red Sea. Can you imagine that picture? We read this history, and we just read it. But I have a very active imagination, and I can just see Moses. They've just left Egypt, and the Pharaoh has sent the people out to get him. Pharaoh and the whole army are fast approaching the Israelites, and they're backed up against it. They can't go any farther. They are trapped, it looks like. In the natural, they're trapped. They've got their backs against the sea with nowhere to go, and here comes the people that they've just been delivered from. It doesn't look very hopeful. And now they're all, poor old Moses, they were always whipping Moses. Why'd you bring us out here? We were better off in Egypt. So they're all going crazy because here comes Egypt again. And Moses, I can see him up there and all the multitude of people out there. And he's saying in verse 13, fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will see them again no more forever. Now he's prophesying. I don't think he even realizes he's making his request. It's a prophecy. He's prophesying with prayer. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And in verse 15 it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore cries thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. He interrupts Moses in the midst of his prayer, his trying to calm the people down. He interrupts them and says, lift up thy rod. Now, he gave Moses that staff for power and for authority and to work miracles, which in the Old Testament, God gave that to Moses using his staff. But in this day and time, he gave us Jesus, his blood, his name, his authority. And now he wants us to use it. We need to use it. We're not using our tools. We really need to start using our tools. So we have power and we have authority and we have a blood covenant. I think the blood covenant is not understood completely. So, also, another prayer of prophecy. God showed me when he told me that I didn't tell you that I would move the mountain if you had faith as the grain of a mustard seed. I said, ye shall say to the mountain. So now I'm thinking, how do I do that? Then immediately, he showed me Ezekiel, chapter 37, starting with verse 1, Ezekiel 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, very many in the open valley, and lo, very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said to me, prophesy upon these bones. Now, he's telling Ezekiel to speak to a valley full of bones that used to be living people that are all scattered, dry, no life in them whatsoever, a hopeless-looking situation. And he says, speak to them and say, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, cause these bones. Thus saith the Lord God unto the bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. Down in verse 9, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. And down in 12, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves, and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord God, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. So we speak to the hopeless situation. What do you speak? The desired end. The desired end. Your request, what you want to happen, you speak it. That's what God told me to do over this situation that was trying to knock my house down. It did knock me down for a while. I tell you, I was so confused and confused and confused. I didn't even know how to pray anymore because I had always prayed the same way, and it had always, you know, been enough. But it wasn't enough anymore. You know, when I came to the conclusion, I didn't know how to fight. I didn't know how to fight. And overall, I see this as being a real problem in the church. Believers don't know how to fight. We don't. We better learn how to fight. Because you're in a battle whether you want to be in it or not. You were inducted when you said, Lord, I receive you. I receive you as my Savior. You joined an army. And you're either fighting or you're surrendering. There's no other ground. You're either fighting the battle or you're surrendering. Now, there's times of rest. That's like in war. They go and they're in intense battle and then they retreat and regroup. And, you know, we have that too as Christians. It's not all fighting all the time. Thank goodness. Right. And we need to learn how to fight the fight. And this is what God, I feel like, has instructed. He taught me himself how to fight the thing that was trying to destroy my home. And I won. He won for me. I'm learning how to take what he did for me and use it in my situation to win my battle. The victory's already ours. He causes us always to triumph. Always. That's always. No losses. Always in Christ Jesus. Then he shows me another one. Joshua chapter 10. You talk about bold now. Joshua chapter 10. I love this. I can just imagine what the people were saying around Joshua the day he said this. They were in a battle. Okay, in verse 12. Then spoke Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, now he's talking about the sun in the sky, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. That's pretty bold. I mean, to stand and tell the sun to stand still. Who would have even thought of such a thing? But Joshua did. And he just said it. Sun, stand thou still. And the moon. And, in verse 13, and the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is it not written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hastened not to go down about a whole day. And I've heard, I don't know if it's true or not, but it makes sense to me because those scientists are pretty curious, that there is a span of time that they can't account for. So, you know, we could have shortened their curiosity, just like, well, of course. Here it's in the book of Joshua. Like my son, I was looking for it last night. My son was saying something about, and Columbus discovered that the world, and I said, wait, you know, in the Old Testament it tells us that he sits upon the circle of the earth. That's round, isn't it? If they just would read the word, they could learn all that. And he's a real brainy guy, and we have this ongoing argument or conflict because he says that it would not rain if it weren't for evaporation. And I said, oh, I beg to differ. Genesis, he separated the waters from the water. All the rain God ever needed is up there. He doesn't need a greenhouse effect, you know, to make rain. And don't you think it's wonderful that he gives it to us in little drops instead of a pah? I mean, it would kill us. Isn't God good? Just little, nice, soft drops. I like that. Okay, and then one night I was having this dream, We had another situation coming against our house in a totally different area. It would cause me to wake up like I couldn't breathe. Anxiety, fear, and I'm just gripping. And, you know, I'd never had that before. I didn't have that with Kyle, but here's a situation. Let's see what she does with that. You know, it's like... So I went to bed one night, and I had this dream about David and Goliath. And there was something, God was wanting to show me something in David and Goliath. So I got up in the middle of the night and got my Bible. I read the whole story of David and Goliath, and it's in 1 Samuel 17. I want to look at that, because these are all the ways that God has taught me to fight the enemy. We know this story well. They were at battle. David goes to bring cheese and bread to his brothers. He gets all kind of criticism for that, all kind of false accusations against him for why he's there when he went, because his daddy told him to go. In verse 41, chapter 17 of 1 Samuel, "And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and he saw David, he disdained him." And that word means disesteemed him. He made fun of David because he was a little man. Well, he wasn't nearly as big as Goliath. So, isn't that the way it goes? You know, the one who has all the goods makes fun of the one who doesn't. "So he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair complexion, fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves?" And that word staves means a shoot with new leaves, with new growth. It means a young one, you know, a real shock of someone to send out for a battle. "And the Philistine cursed David by his God. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hands, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowl of the air and unto the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." Is that not awesome? Now, you know what this tells me? Here was David. He was the representative of God. He was a representative of God. And here was Goliath, who was the representative of Satan. So you have two powers, which it always is. It's either one or the other. But here they were together. And does not Satan do to us what he did to David? Come and tell ye that you're nobody. You know, who do you think you are? I know the things you've done. You know, he's just going to bring all this stuff to you and try to beat you down and make you forget who you really are in God. So what I learned from this was that, first of all, if God be for me, who can be against me? If I am with the Lord and he is my God, then he's greater than anything that can come against me. Anything. I don't care how big it is. I don't care how big of a weapon he has. God is greater. God is greater. And it gave me such a peace. I thought, there is no enemy big enough to defeat my God. And he is with me. So when Satan comes now, and you know Satan's a liar. There's no truth in him. You can't believe a word he says. That's what got us all in this trouble to begin with. Eve fell for it. But it comes to all of us. We talked about that in the ladies' meeting. We forgive Eve for that. We've all done it. He comes and seduces us with all of his lies, and we start thinking about what he says. That's the problem right there. We think about what he says. That's where we follow off the rabbit trail and get caught in a trap. What I do now is when he comes to me with lies, and because he is a liar, You young ones really live into this. Because he is a liar, when he comes to you and tells you, you can't do that, you can't do that, all you have to do is know that it is a lie from Satan. And if he's a liar, he disputes the truth, right? So the truth is, you can do that, because he's a liar. So when he comes and says, you can't do that, yay, I can do it, I can do it, I can do it. So when the devil would come to me and say, Kyle is never going to come out of this trouble that he's in. He's so far gone, you know. When those lies come, you just stand up and praise God for the opposite, because he's a liar. He is a liar. And it's amazing. You know, Satan won't stay around long for that. He hates that. He really hates that. Especially if you feed him some word. He'll never come out of that. I beg to differ. Train him up in a... So it is written. That's how Jesus beat him. It is written. Like, train him up the way he should go when he's old, he will not depart from it. I did that, and it's coming. I can't see it, but I believe it. I have faith for it, and I'm not moving from that place. I will see it. Then you start prophesying, you know, your desired end. He's out of there. You know, he can't stand that. It may take a little while, but he'll leave. Okay, and then... So see, that's what it means to cast down those vain imaginations. He'll come to you, and you've got to cast it down. And you, believe me, you have to do it fast. Don't even think about what he's saying. If you can, don't let him finish the sentence. Just cast it down. Shut up, devil. I'm not listening to that. I did that accidentally one day to my aunt, because I was trying to bring my body under subjection with eating too much. And here she is. It's an inherited thing. She's had trouble with her weight all of her life, still battling it. And I just so happened I got serious that day. I was starting that day. So I go visit my mother, and she's there, and she brought cake. No, thank you. I'm not going to have any cake. Oh, why not? I said, well, because I started a diet today. Oh, now, Carla, you know it's not going to hurt you to eat one little bitty piece of cake. I said, shut up, devil. I'm not eating it. And she looked at me, and I said, I'm not talking to you, Aunt Peggy. I'm talking to the devil. Because he wants me to eat that cake, and I'm not eating it. And it worked. She just said, shut up, devil. You know, we're too polite. We are too polite with the devil. It is time to just get flat out, put him in his place. Shut up, devil. Jesus did it to Peter. Get thee behind me, Satan. You know, he'll use anybody he can. And sometimes we don't even know we're being used by Satan. So we have to be careful about that. Okay. He tells us in John 1:12, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, to them that believe on his name. To them that believe on his name. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? He is the Son of God. And we are. He was the firstborn of many. So who are we? Jesus' brother, the firstborn of many brethren. And he came before us to be our example for us to follow. So we can do those things that he did. And I used to say, how could any greater works be done than what he did? It's going to be greater because when he was here, it was just in him. Then he gave it to these 12 and then gave it to 70 more. And then, you know, well, he's going to go do what he was sent to do, and then it can be given to whosoever. You know, that's when the battle really got intense, because it says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 12, that from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. And I thought, Lord, why? Why just from the days of John the Baptist? I mean, sin entered in the garden. Why isn't it from the days of, from the Garden of Eden, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence? And he showed me that John the Baptist came proclaiming the coming of the Christ, the one who would defeat Satan once and for all, the one who would give to each of us the very same power that he had. And his power was going to be multiplied throughout the earth, and there's going to be so greater works done than we could ever imagine. I'm hoping to begin to see the greater work. It's in each one of us. if you've accepted him as your Savior and then received the power that he also sent on the day of Pentecost. Receive that power. That's where the power is. And so that's what, when he would defeat Satan, the victory is already won. We need to learn how to operate in victory. We have the victory. It's already there. I'm just now learning how to walk in that victory. And the way you do it, you can't walk in it by what you see. Because that's, it says that faith, we walk by faith and not by sight. You know the victory's there. And you know, sometimes he will give us instructions how to fight the battle. Other times, like one of the battles, I said, Lord, I don't know how to fight this battle. And he said, the battle is not yours, it's mine. I will fight the battle. Well, that was very restful. Okay. See, like a little child. I'm not going to bother with it again. I still pray. Not fervently. I pray faithfully and thank him that I'm going to see the victory and that he is, Lord, thank you that you're fighting this battle. I thank you. I don't see it. I don't see the victory yet, but I know it's coming because you told me that you were going to fight this battle. That's rest. You can rest. Another area that he is beginning to show me our power is it's come to me, and Mr. Fox touched on this the other day about dominion. You know, when we were created in the garden to live in forever, to have dominion, and it was good. Everything was good. There was nothing bad until after the fall. So we lost our lost fellowship with God in the garden. We're all born separated from God. Jesus Christ came, reconciled us back to that place. And so now I'm saying, Lord, if I've accepted you as my Savior, then that's been restored. What you gave to Adam and Eve has been restored. And I want you to teach me how to live in that. The life that they forfeited, I want it. And that's life and life abundantly. And so one day, I was driving down the road. We live in the country. Things are always flying out of the woods or running out of the woods or running across the road or deer, rabbits, all this kind of stuff. And they were constantly startling me, making me flinch and hang on to the steering wheel tight. And, it was enough was enough. I don't like that feeling. And so I just out of my mouth said, I take dominion over the fowl of the air and over everything that moves upon the earth. Whoa, dominion. Hey, that's pretty good. Dominion. He gave us dominion over the fowl of the air and over everything that moves upon the earth. So I command it in the name of Jesus to stay out of my roadway. Thank you, Lord. No more close calls. No more close calls. I thought, wow, that's powerful. So I tell people, they go, she has lost it. I want to lose it all, too. I want to lose it all. Over the weather, people call, there's a bad weather. She said on watch TV, the bad weather. There's bad weather headed y'all's way. I go out on my front porch. I see the wind. I go to my front porch. I take dominion right now over this weather system. No tornadoes. In the name of Jesus, I forbid tornadoes to form in these clouds. There will be no damaging rain, no hail, no damaging wind in the name of Jesus. I say, peace be still, just as Jesus did. In the name of Jesus, peace be still to this weather. My dog thinks, who's she talking to? She must be talking to me. She comes running over there and just sits there. Probably thinks I've lost it too. But really, he has given us dominion. Well, we don't have to be fearful. Take dominion. I look at what did Jesus do when the storm came? He stood up and said, peace be still. I do the same thing. We are to do. He gave us power. Another storm came through. Boy, this is before I learned to take dominion over the weather. But it came out of my mouth this day. We have a pasture, a barn way out there, and the gate is up here, and there's a low spot, and the water, it was just rushing like a river, and real noisy. You know how water, when it rushes, it is noisy, and our horse was going crazy. first of all, he couldn't get to his barn. And the water was frightening him, scaring him. So he's going crazy. And I thought, he's going to hurt himself. So I went and opened the gate, because in the evenings, Mike opens the gate and the horse runs out and he likes to eat grass in our yard. So I thought, I'm going to go open the gate. See, I'm leaning under my own understanding. I'm going to go open the gate and settle the horse down. He'll come out here and eat grass. Well, he didn't do that. He was freaking out. And he stepped in a place where I usually garden and thump, you know, way up. I thought, he's going to break his leg, that crazy horse. I just said, I take dominion over you in the name of Jesus. Get over here and eat grass. And he just walked over. I was standing on the porch, and he walked right up to the fence and just started grazing. I thought, that is awesome. So I take dominion. I'm going to learn to live in that. I want it all. I want everything Adam and Eve forfeited. I want it. So I encourage you to open your mouth. Open your mouth. Say it. Make your request known to God. And then there are warfare prayers. Now, this is really new to me. I mean, I've been learning about warfare, and I've been doing those things, but this is something new in my life. In there again, Matthew 11:12, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. And that means, because Satan, when you joined the kingdom of heaven by accepting Jesus as your Savior, you became a target. He is your enemy, and he doesn't like you. And he's going to do everything he can to move you away from the things of God. That's exactly what he did to Adam and Eve. He stripped them of their position. He stripped them of their blessings. He stripped them from their land. They got thrown out. So the violent take it by force. Now, we're supposed to be the violent. The violent are the vitally active, energetic, and forceful. That's what Christians are supposed to be. Vitally active, energetic, and forceful. Not crying and whimpering and pulling our hair and having digestive problems and ulcers and all these things that come to us when we move over into the realm of fear. We are supposed to be forceful. You know what forceful means? You go after it and you don't stop until you get it. That's what forceful is. That's what the word force means. You go after it and you don't stop until you get it. And I just think it was so appropriate, because I have down here with little music signs, we went to the enemy's camp and we took back what... Well, we love that song, but do we know how to do that, really? Are we really going back and taking what Satan stole from us? I'm getting violent. He's under my feet. He's under my feet. So, this scripture, Cheryl, this is the one I was going to share with you when I thought you were leaving. James 5:4. James 5:4. The last one. I heard a teaching on this in the year 2000, and it excited me when I heard it, but it didn't become real until last November. It came to my mind. See, the Holy Spirit will bring it to your remembrance when you have need of it. Well, when Mike leaves for work, I pray for him, and then I start getting violent in my prayers. I'm going after everything that he has taken from me. I look back over the years, and I think we all can see the areas that we've been robbed. People are actually even being robbed of their lives. These people that are dying young, they're being robbed of their life. And we need to start getting violent about our inheritance in Jesus Christ. So James 5:4 says, behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your field, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. And the cries of them who have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. And that's the Lord of hosts. So in other words, he's talking to somebody that had hired workers, and he didn't pay them like he was supposed to be paid. Well, we had a situation like that in our life. That's why I got excited about it, because this man hired my husband and said, from one town to 70 miles away, I will pay you what you're being paid now. So Mike took the job. And then he brings home the first paycheck. Now, we're living on a limited income. We had reached a point of being debt-free. We built this house on land that was a vision that Mike had that I laughed at, like Sarah, because I didn't see how that'd be possible. On what we make? You think you're going to go buy land and build a house? Well, we're living in it. Hallelujah. But anyway, the first paycheck we got was $160 short. Now, twice a month, that's $320. And we lived on a tight budget. We were in trouble now. And we're still in a struggle because of what that did to us. Mike was not a confronter and would not go talk to the boss. And I had been delivered from Jezebel, so I didn't either. Years ago, I would have gone behind his back and talked to that boss. I would have. But he said, I am not going to talk to him. I said, would you let me? He said, no, don't mention it again. So that was my order. Lord, what are we going to do? So anyway, now we have, some situations because of that. But when I heard this scripture, I said, Lord, that is us. We were hired, and the money that was told we were going to get, we didn't get it. But it says that money that belonged to those workers is crying. So this is the way I see it now. Everything that Satan has stolen from us is crying out, Butod, Butod. it wants to come to, it belongs to us. And he has stolen it away from us. But the second part of that says, and the cries of them who have reaped are entered into the Lord of hosts. Well, I haven't been crying out for that stuff. I haven't been crying out for what was been stolen. Not only that, but our children. Not only that, our finances. Not only that, I could just not, just everything but our health. Everything but our health. And so every morning Mike leaves for work and I am marching around my house. You can go from living room, dining room, kitchen, hall, and I am marching in a circle. I am crying out for all of those things that Satan has stolen from me. I command you in the name of Jesus, you loose everything that you've stolen from us. I call it into the house of Butod in the name of Jesus. We are tithers. Do you hear me? It is written that you are rebuked for our sake. I command you to move out of the way of the window of our blessing, because he's been holding back our blessing too. If you're tithing and living to the best of your knowledge and ability, the Word of God, and that scripture is not true, he says, test me. Now, I've never been much of a tester of God, but he says, test me. And we have been tithing. And for years, our business, everything that comes in, people say, no, you just tithe off of your profit. That's not what it says to me. Everything that comes in here, 10% of it is God. That's how we tithe. And so I command him. I say, it is written that you are rebuked for our sake. And move out of the way of the wind of our blessings. And I call those blessings. I'm crying out. Jeremy, you taught me how to cry out. I'm yelling in my house. I want you to know what has happened since then. Also, as an afterthought, because I've known for years that God has called me to teach. I've been prophesied over for years. You're gonna. And years I sat and said, Lord, when? So as an afterthought, I said, and by the way, and I send out the mighty warring angels, and I scramble the plans that you have on my children's lives. I call them back into the house, into a relationship with God, being obedient, and then, speaking out my desire to end for all of them. Godly men and women of godly man of Kyle, come forth. Godly woman of Katie, come forth in Jesus' name. Just as Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead and called him out of the tomb and said, loose him. He was bound. And these things are bound. So I just command them to be loose. You loose them in the name of Jesus. And so, and as an afterthought, and Lord, if The reason that I don't have opportunity to teach is because I'm not ready, then, Lord, I can wait. But if it's blocking spirit, I say move in Jesus' name and doors of opportunity be opened. That was in November. And everything you've stolen from us, I command you to return it. That was in November. December, a woman walked into our office. She had given us a hot check back in August. I'm here to make... I got a check returned on y'all. And I thought, you did? I thought it was ours. She said, no. I gave it to you. I know you got it because I got a notice from my bank. And I went, oh. I was shocked. I said, Lord, I forgive this woman. She's having some kind of problem. I'm not going to turn it in. I forgive her, her debt. I put it in my bank account, my statement thing, and forgot about it. She had to remind me how much it was, and then it rang a bell. Blow me down. I didn't say that, but I thought it. I thought I'd never see you again. Anyway, I gave it to her. She gave me the money. Later, a week later, she came back in. Mike said, you'll never guess who came in today. You know that lady that gave us the hot check? I said, yeah. She brought in a frame. We have an optical business. She brought in a frame. It still had the demo lenses in it. She handed it to him, and he said, did you want me to make glasses out of these? And she said, no, you don't understand. I'm returning this to you. I stole it several months ago. I said, Mike, that I take that as a direct answer to this prayer that I had started praying. And then I had to tell him about the prayer because, you know, I'm praying this on my own. And then a week after that, another lady came in and laid $130 cash on his desk. He's confused because he hadn't made any glasses for her. He said, do I have glasses for you? And he said, she said, no, I have owed this to you for over a year. I paid you half. You probably don't remember, but I asked you, could I pay the other half in 2 weeks when I get my check, and you were nice enough to let me, but I never came back. But this is yours. Wow. And then Brother Jim calls me New Year's Day. He does business on New Year's Day. God does. And asked if I would come and teach at his church on March the 5th. Now, for 3 or 4 years before this, I'd only taught twice in Brother Jim's church. And so I said, yes, I'd be glad to, March 5th. So then the ladies' conference up here takes place, and I wasn't planning to come, but I had an unction about 3 days before it was to start to be here. So I beat here. And the first night, I was sitting right about there, and Brother Jim came and said, would you come to the back of the room for a minute? So I did, and he had Glenn back there, and he said, I'd like to formally introduce you to Glenn, who is the head of this campground. And so we were formally introduced, and then he said, she's going to be teaching at my church on March the 5th, and Glenn said, well, send me a tape. And then on March 27th, my son got married, and when I got home from the wedding, there was a message on the answering machine. And it was Glenn asking if I would come and speak to the lady. And I am just so blown away because of the, I mean, just pow, 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 pow. The answers, you know, just answers to prayer, answers to prayer. We need to bombard the spirit world and come against Satan with the blood of Jesus, his name, his power and his authority that he has given us, and begin to go to the enemy's camp, and we take back what he took from me. That's right. I mean, do it. I was thinking about that song, and I thought, we're singing this, and how many people are really doing this? It's good to sing, but we need to do it. We need to do it. Oh, and the last thing, you're not even going to believe this. I forgot about it. I can't believe I forgot about it. 3 weeks ago, there was a message on my husband's answering machine. Mike's taken flying lessons, which has brought a whole realm of men into his life that I'm not particularly happy that are in his life. So, you know what I'm doing? Lord, open your eyes. Turn them from darkness to light and their lives from the power of Satan unto you, that they might receive forgiveness of their sins and share in the inheritance of the saints. I'm going to pray them all into the kingdom. If they're going to be friends with my man, they're going to have to be righteous men. But anyway, one of them owns a radio station, and he sent a girl over to sell some advertisements for this other optical place in town. Well, they say, we're not buying any advertising. Well, why not? Well, because we're not going to be here. We're leaving town July the 16th. So she goes back to the radio station, calls Mike. We're out for lunch. Mike, I got a tip. They're leaving town, the other place in town, our competition. Well, Mike used to work for him. Then he opened his own place, and the guy laughed at him. Which, you know, I learned a long time ago in Isaiah 49, I think it is, it says, God said, I will contend with those who contend with you. I don't worry about, I mean, if somebody does something, you think I'm worried? I've got God. I don't need to do anything. I don't need anybody else to do anything. I've got God, and He's all sufficient. And so she calls and tells me, Jennifer Sykes is leaving Jasper. I just couldn't even believe it. I wouldn't even have thought of that myself. I wouldn't pray a prayer like that. Run them out of town, Lord. You know, I'm not going to pray a prayer like that. In fact, Lord, bless them. I drive by there. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Just bless them. And bless Mike's optical. When we first opened, I said, Lord, put the star that you hung over the manger over our business. Just let people come there without even knowing why. And a lady drove by one day and came in, and she walked in, and she looked like she was lost. I said, can I help you with something? She said, I don't know. I don't need anything. But I was driving by, and the Lord told me to come in here. I said, that's why you came in here. Thank you. I pray that. Just let them come without even knowing why they're here. Now say, and let them buy glasses. See, so you get real specific. But anyway, I would like to pray now. So I encourage you, let's get busy. Pray. That's where the power is. Get in His Word. You know, it says that He upholds all things by the Word of His power. I always thought it was the power of His Word. It is the Word of His power. And when we speak it, He watches over it to perform it. But if you don't know it, you can't say it. So we need to get in the Word. Feast at the table. Him. Partake of Him. And just watch your world be awesome. Because it is. We have an awesome God. Okay, so right now let's just pray. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, because your word says that these signs shall follow those who believe, that in His name we shall cast out demons. I speak to the spirit, the demons, I'm going to call them, demon of unbelief, doubt, the antichrist spirit, that lying spirit that stands between the word and us and perverts it and changes it and causes us not to believe it. I command the spirit of fear to leave every person here right now. The fear of praying wrong, the fear of approaching God, the fear of not being worthy or not righteous enough. Let me tell you, the blood of Jesus makes you righteous. It makes you righteous. We were made righteous, and we can boldly come into His throne room. I command all fears to go in Jesus' name. I command the demons of religion and error, the doctrines that cause your word to be of no effect, Lord. I command those to be broken off of your people. I command the deaf and dumb spirit to go that won't allow the people to hear or speak your truth. I command all spirits of confusion to go. And I release on them a spirit of revelation knowledge. Everything, Lord, that you are, let them know you in a way they've never known you before. And let them know who they are in you in a way they've never known before. I release upon them the spirit of truth, the truth that will make them free, that they can walk in truth, that they can walk in freedom, that they can walk in power to overcome whatever comes their way, that they will be overcomers and not be overcome. Right now, in Jesus' name, Satan, I command you to loose us and let us go. And we thank you, Father, that you've heard us. We know that you've heard us and that you will answer. And I thank you for it ahead of time, for everything. The way that their lives will change from having heard your word and seen the examples of those that have gone before us, Lord, that we can learn from them and that we can do the word as you expect us to. In Jesus' name. And now, Lord, I ask you to bless the food. Lord, you would lift it up and give thanks for it and break it. And it was blessed because of that. So the word says that nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. So I just lift up our dinner to you today. I ask you to bless it, and we do thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.